I'm going to talk about a topic today that the Lord's just simply not allowing me to get away from. And he's having me teach it to you from different perspectives. And I can even say, as I'm teaching it, the Lord's giving me new revelation, and I'm giving it to you as I'm getting it for me. Because sometimes you can look at something one way, but when you turn it slightly, you see a different angle. So therefore, you learn another dimension about it. And so, since this is, according to the word of God, the most important thing that we can focus on, I think we need to talk about it. So the title of today's message is "The Kingdom of Heaven is at Hand." Now, I want to start by saying, and in saying this, I'm putting things into perspective for you. Jesus is a king, not some religious figure. He's not trying to obtain power. All power has already been given to him. Now listen, he didn't just come to build a church. I know we talk about the church, the ecclesia. All right, and that's great because the church is important. But beyond the church, that's not why he came. He came to establish a kingdom. And the church is the one who's to help build and establish that church. Now, when we look at the Word of God, we see his predecessor, his cousin, John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. I'll read from the NIV. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Other translations like KJV says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's about to become available. Of course, then we know Jesus' opening message when he opened up is the same line, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist speaking that it was near, coming close. Jesus announcing it was here. He was here. Do you understand? He was the portal between heaven and earth. He was the access and is the access between heaven and earth. Does everyone understand that concept? This was consistent in who Jesus was and how Jesus taught the people. When he was going to teach people how to pray. How many people remember Jesus taught us how to pray? Matthew 6, verse 9, I'll read from NLT. He says to pray like this. And he starts out, "Our Father who art in heaven." And then he makes this statement in the middle of the prayer because he wants us to pray this way. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." How? "As it is in heaven." So every day when we pray, we have, how many people remember the sermon I just taught recently on God is intentional? Everything he does is intentional, and blessings are intentional. But you have to be intentional in order to receive them. Well, when Jesus taught us how to pray, it was because it was intentional. He wanted to accomplish something. So anytime you want to accomplish something in kingdom, you pray about it, and you pray it into the earth realm. So not just Jesus, but his followers and all the followers to come, he said, this is how we pray. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." How? "As it is in heaven." So he's setting up a new culture on earth, replacing the old culture with the new culture. Jesus is called the second Adam. When the earth was created, this was the culture of the earth. Man had dominion, lost it, and when Jesus came and paid a price on the cross and became one sacrifice for all, dominion was returned to man. Well, then, if dominion has returned, then the culture should change. Who's going to change it? Those with the dominion. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Do you understand? No one is arguing with the will of God in heaven. It's only being contested here on earth. Repent. Now, I've taught this to you before, but we have a lot of new people. Metanoia is the word that's used here. And it means change after being with. And it says, think differently after. So in other words, you thought one way, but now something has changed. It's after the fact. So now you have to think differently after, because it's not the same as it was. So if you want to operate in kingdom, you can't use an earthly mindset. Because it's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So it's not the earth done on the earth, it's kingdom done on earth. Therefore, you have to repent. You have to think differently. You can't think the way you used to. You can't operate the way you used to and expect kingdom results in an earth realm. Is anybody tracking me? So when we read Matthew 6:33, the first message is repent, think differently, because the kingdom is here, it's at hand. And we have to operate different, right? So here's the first thing you do once you've received the message. Seek ye first. That's first. So I don't know, whatever you're doing in your life, whatever you think is priority, whatever you're making mainstream, according to the Word of God, if you want to follow the will of God for your life and you want to live in kingdom culture, then you have to seek kingdom first. I know we have so many other things we prioritize and we put above and we think that, but right now it says the first thing you do when you receive Christ and you enter into the kingdom is what? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. First message, first approach, right here. Can I say this? The more I learn about kingdom, the less I find myself praying about things. See, all the things are what we use in order to spread the kingdom, but they don't show up till after we seek. First things first. First message, first approach. You have to seek. Now, I'm not going to leave you out there in Never Never Land wondering what seeking is. You're going to understand what seeking is here in just a minute. We'll get there. Just stay with me. So if you're always praying about the stuff, then you're going to miss the kingdom of God. Because if you're praying about the stuff, listen to me, more than you're praying about the kingdom, then what you're saying is you have prioritized your needs above your assignment. I'm going to say it again. Anytime you prioritize your needs above an assignment, you are out of the order and the natural order of the things with God. How can you expect something from God when you're not doing it in the order that God has it established? God is a God of order. God is intentional. And he says things the way. The first message was repent. You got to think differently. And the way you think differently is by seeking the kingdom of God first. Not the things. Not the stuff. Not the need. Just reading the word of God here. Say first things first. So if you're seeking kingdom, here's the beautiful part about it. Matthew 7:7 says, if you are seeking kingdom, ask and it shall be given. If you seek, you shall find. God gives us a guarantee. He doesn't just tell us to seek. He said, if you seek, I'll make sure you find. If you ask, I'll make sure that it's given. And here's the big one. If you knock, it shall be open to you. Hold on to that thought. If you're seeking kingdom, you will have full access to the stuff. Three things this verse teaches: ask, seek, and knock. Say full access. When you seek kingdom, then the first step, the number one in that statement, has to be asking permission to even enter the kingdom. Right? So John 3:1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. It said he came to Jesus at night, and he starts asking Jesus, how does a man become born again? Jesus starts trying to explain. He says, well, you have to be born again. He says, born again? How do I go back into my mother's womb? See, he didn't understand. He was trying to solve an earthly problem with earthly mindset. But Jesus says you have to think differently, because that which is born of the flesh is born of the flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is born of the Spirit. You're still thinking with the flesh, and you got to start operating in the Spirit. You have to be Spirit-minded. You have to be Christ-minded in order to operate in the kingdom. You can't even get permission to enter the kingdom until you change your mindset. So, lest a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But if he does, he gets full access to a lifestyle of the kingdom with all the stuff added to it. Listen, I'm sorry that the church taught you that salvation was an end of a thing. Salvation is just the beginning of a thing. We focus so much time on salvation. Like, whoo, we made it. Now we just pack our spiritual gifts and we wait for the good old gospel ship. That is wrong. Salvation is the beginning of a thing. It just gives you permission to enter the thing that Jesus was talking about that you need to be working and being a part of and building. Oh, it's too quiet in here for me today. I'll preach, but you're going to have to help me just a little bit today. Kingdom. Salvation is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the entry level. Jesus is the entry point. Why are we spending so much time teaching about the entry point and so little time talking about kingdom? You can't just talk about permission all the time. You can't enter the kingdom of God with a curse on your life. So Jesus comes and he was made a curse for you. So all the curse comes off of your life. So once you accept Jesus, the sin is gone. The curse is gone. Now you can enter into a way of thinking that you could not enter in before, because you don't have anything influencing the mind, because the curse has been rebuked. It has been bound off of your life. It has been removed. Can you see this? So now, once that happens, you're just getting started. That's not the end game. That's not the goal. Oh, we did it. No, you did it. Now let's get busy. Roll up your sleeves and let's talk about what happens next, because you can't get stuck to the cross. When you knock and the door is open, you can't just stand at the door. If a door is open, it's because access. If you come to my house, you knock on my door, I open it up. Don't just stand there. Come on in. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Come in. Too much talking, not enough walking. Ask, and it shall be given. Permission to enter. Seek, and you shall find. What? What do you find? I'll answer that in a minute. Knock, and it shall be open. You knock on doors, and doors have locks. So if a door is open, somebody unlocked it. How'd it get unlocked? I am so glad you asked that question. Matthew 16:13, King James. And I will give it to you keys. What unlocks doors? Keys. I will give you keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever, we'll get there in a minute, I will give you keys to the kingdom. What are you seeking? Kingdom. What do you find when you seek kingdom? Keys. Thank you for the three people who are tracking me, who are following me, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you're seeking kingdom, and the door is open, you have permission, then what are you finding? You found a key to open a door. So why did you open the door? So you could just stand there and not have salvation? Or did you enter into the salvation of the Lord? Did you walk in the salvation of the Lord? Were you established in it? So when God, you start seeking kingdom, he will give you keys to open doors that no man can close. And when they're open, you don't stand there. You have to get access. You have to move in it, walk in it, be established in it. I give you keys to the kingdom. How do they work? Well, the Bible, let's read the rest of the verse, because the door can't be opened unless it's unlocked. So, we see, whatsoever that thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Say, lock it. You bind it, you lock it. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Say, loose it. So you can either lock it or you can let it loose. Shut it up or set it free. Say, lock it and loose it. But in order to do so, you can't just pray. You have to apply a key, and you're not finding the key unless you're seeking. So let me ask you a question. Listen, everybody. Why are you still praying for God to loose something that he's already given you a key to? How would you feel? How many people go to hotels, motels? You get a key. If someone hands you a key, I'll say it's my wife. I hand her a key. Here, baby, here's a key to get into the room. So anything you need, you can just go back and forth. You don't have to come see me. And she stands there. She goes, can you let me in the room? Baby, I just gave you a key. I want to go to the bathroom. Use the key. Can you just let me in? I gave you a key. I know, but I need to get some things out of the room. Have you lost your mind? Use the key. And we wonder why we're frustrated in our prayer life. God, do this. God, have you lost your mind? I gave you the key. There's got to be a time when we say, God, you don't have to babysit me anymore. I can use the key by myself. I use the potty by myself. I don't have time to go into that verse where it talks about the mature things of God. I just don't have time right now. Just keep that in your mind. Say, lock it or loose it. Now, let me give you an example, because you can't just say something like that. You know, why are you praying for God to do something for you that you have a key? God, please, heal me. Heal me, God. James 5 says, is there any sick among you? See, if I'm sick, I need to seek. So I go to my key case. Yeah, go to my key case, and I'm looking for a key. Oh, James 5. Any sick among you, call for the elders. Let him anoint him with all the prayer of faith. I said, see, let him lay hands. That's a key. So, are you following me? Now, if I don't use the key, Say it. Look at me. Say, have you lost your mind? Say, use the key. You don't want me to stop. You don't want me to stop here, do you? Okay. Roll up your toes a little bit. Have people all the time ask me, Pastor, will you pray for me to have a financial breakthrough? Yeah, I'll pray for it. I'll be glad to pray for it. Matter of fact, well, let's pray about it right now. But prayer is not the key to finance. Oh, I got to say that again. Prayer is not the key to finance. I'll pray with you about anything. But now, if you're expecting financial breakthrough, you better be seeking. And if you're seeking, the Bible said you'll be finding. And once you find, you'll find a... And when you get the key, you need to access. Use it. Access. It creates access. So, tithing. You want to see if a key works? Tithe. Prove me now. Bring the tithe to the storehouse. My house may be full. That's a key. Now watch this. This is interesting because it's the only place I see where you have keys to windows. You want to unlock the windows of heaven, not the doors. You want to unlock the windows of heaven. Those windows will pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to contain it. Right? So I'll pray with you. But if you're not tithing, you didn't seek and you didn't find and you didn't use, and therefore there's no access. So we're going to be praying and praying and praying, but we're not going to be getting any results. So if we're praying, let's pray for you to be obedient. Let's pray for you to get out of fear. Let's pray for you to trust God with the word that you have faith to be able to use the keys that he gave you for the kingdom so you can build and establish what he called you to do. You want me to keep going? What about sowing? As a man soweth, so shall he reapeth. Sow a little, reap a little. Sow a lot, reap a lot. Whatsoever a man sow. What's the most important statement in that verse? Whatsoever a man soweth. It's the fact that you're sowing. Why is that important? Sowing is the key to finance. Now listen, we talked about the tithe and y'all was shouting, woohoo, yeah, hallelujah. But that just opened the windows and that's a limited blessing. Why? If you can hold 10 bags of money, right? That's all you can hold. And I put one more bag on there. I've given you a blessing that you can't contain it. But you're still limited to 11 bags. So God will overwhelm you with the blessing. But sowing and reaping, that's a key. And it opens a door. If you open a window of heaven, and it will pour you out a blessing you can't contain, what happens if you unlock a door? Let me tell you the difference. When you unlock a door to finance in heaven, there's unlimited. What are you talking about? Because I can sow whatever amount I want, and I can reap as I sow. I can sow 5 times a day if I want. I can sow 20 times. It's unlimited potential. And every time I do it, I charge heaven and the door. I create an access because every time I use the key, I get a door open. And when I open the door, I create an access. And the access is tied to a promise. And the promise will deliver whatever it is God says on the other end of it. So when I'm in faith and I'm using my keys, I'm unlocking doors to heaven to create access to a portal to earth to be able to establish kingdom here on earth. I am building God's kingdom. That's how faith works. That's what you are called to do. You're called to walk in blessing. You're not called to just get by from day to day. You're called to be able to finance ministry. You're called, but are you using the keys? You got to know who you are, and you got to know what's available to you, or you can't become the thing God wants you to be. So let's cut through all the nonsense. We can pray about all this stuff and need to pray about all this stuff, but we need to pray that we are lining up with the Word of God, not praying to God to do something that He's already given us keys for. Some of y'all are in shock. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm trying to help somebody out here. Anybody getting helped here today? Creates access. Don't get me wrong. I love God's blessings poured out to me, but I sure do love better the fact that I have a key that I can have unlimited access. He gave you the keys. So unlock and loose the blessings at the same time. Do you understand that? Why? Did God not say that He would rebuke the devourer for your sake? Say, lock it. Because the enemy is now bound. Once you use the key, he's bound. Did He not say He would pour you out a blessing? That means something was loose. So loose it. When you use the keys, you lock some things and you loose some others. When you use the key for healing, you bind sickness, you lock it up. And you loose healing, you loose it and release it into the earth realm. Say lock it and loose it. We need to start locking and loosing. You need to start locking some loosing. Or you need to look at your kids and you need to start locking and you need to start loosing. You need to start looking over your families and start locking and start loosing. You need to start looking over your finances, your job, your career, the people, your neighborhoods. Start locking and loosing. Some of your friends. Woo! Baba Boucher mama say that the devil. Lock them and loose them. Just be honest right now. How many people have friends in here that influence you the wrong way? Lock it. Every time you open your mouth, you release a key into their life. Say, loose it. You got to lock them up. You got to loose what's in you. That's how you change the world. One person at a time. Say, lock it and loose it. Now, I'm going to make a statement. And I want you to understand this is not a book of conduct that instructs you on how to live a Christian lifestyle. You understand that? Some of y'all, it's not. No, it's a book of keys that allows us access to the lifestyle of a kingdom that can only be accessed by the Word of God. The Bible says He has blessed us with every, depending on the translation, all. Say every, all. That's everything. All spiritual blessings. So watch this. According to heaven, you don't have any needs. Thank you for the two people that heard me. What are you praying about? According to heaven, you don't have any needs. Let me change gears a minute. So when you have kingdom mindset, that means I can live in a kingdom where it doesn't matter what political party I am. Because I'm not in one. If they're going to have parties, they can have them all by themselves. I'm going to have a Holy Ghost party. I don't need to care who wins an election. My kingdom says God puts them in and God takes them out. See, in my kingdom, there's only one king, and he rules and reigns over all. He's the king of kings. He's the king of presidents. He's the king of senators, the king of representatives. He's the kings of the courts. He's righteous judge over the Supreme Court. He is the supreme over the supreme. Y'all getting this today? I see five of you moving. The rest of them, I'm getting ready to come out and do CPR. Practice my skills. He gave you keys to unlock the blessings. Now listen, I'm going to say something. Listen to me. You're not church members. Yeah, when I got here, I took away the membership, and I called you partners. Why? Why would you want to be a member of a church? Church membership doesn't give you any rights or privileges in kingdom. What are you talking about? No, you are citizens. The Bible calls you citizens of the kingdom. It's citizens that have rights and privileges. Want me to give you an example? When the citizens are in a kingdom, they don't fight the battles of that kingdom. Why'd y'all get so quiet? Man, I was shouting ground right there. Why? Because y'all still trying to fight. Y'all still trying to war things. You're trying to fight. Listen, when you're a citizen, you don't fight the battles. God has warring angels over you. God right now is posted angels. He's fighting over your family. He's fighting over your children. He's fighting over your home. He's watching over your job and making sure he has angels posted all around you. He's warring over your soul every day. When you don't even know what to pray for, he prays for you. You don't even know what you're supposed to pray for. He fights your battles. He is Jehovah Nisi. God is guarding and watching over you. Why? Because you're seeking. When you're seeking, you're finding. And hopefully if you're finding, you're accessing. And if you're accessing, that means there is a release coming from heaven to earth. And in that release, all things are added to those. Seek ye first. And all these other things are added. And when they're added to the citizens of the kingdom. Here's another one. He will supply all of your needs according to. Where's that at? Oh, his riches in Christ Jesus. Really? Where's Jesus? He's in the kingdom. Are you kidding me? According to his riches, who are in Jesus, and Jesus is in kingdom, that means he already made your provision, and he's just waiting on you to access it. It's already there. He's just waiting on you to use a key. You want me to one-up that? Obviously, that didn't excite you enough. Maybe I can just try one more. I'll try one more. That didn't create much excitement. I don't know what happens here. I'm getting the paddles next. You're not just citizens. The Bible calls you ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Listen to this. As though God were making his appeal through us. The word ambassador here means to act as an established statesman, a diplomat. A trusted, respected ambassador, listen to me, who is authorized to speak as God's emissary, parentheses, to represent his kingdom. Look at somebody, look at five people and say, represent. All right. If you have a sunburn, sometimes you touch it, it says, ouch. I'm going to touch a couple things here, okay? So, To whom much is given, much is required. You're supposed to represent the kingdom. That means you have to do it God's way and say, God's way, not mine. And one important requirement, you have to keep your opinions to yourself. You're only responsible to give out the word that God gives you, because there is no book of first and second opinions. Doesn't matter if you like it or you don't like it. Doesn't matter if you agree with it or you don't agree with it. Doesn't matter even if you would rather do things a different way. Doesn't matter. You are here to represent him and not you. I got to wrap this thing up, so let me say it this way. In conclusion, you can either access and live in his kingdom and help establish it here on the earth, or you can do anything else. That's your two choices. Because anything else is not kingdom. So when you're taking that into consideration, please remember this. The life-changing message that Jesus first preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Can you please stand to your feet? I hope this message explained to you your purpose in your Christian walk. This message changed my life. Now, unlike some people, I didn't get taught this message. It was revealed to me through seeking. Matter of fact, I was in churches who were teaching me the other way. We stayed so long on salvation, which is very important, because you can't even enter until you get that. But we kind of got stuck there. And then I saw kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. And he started giving me revelation on what kingdom was. And it changed my life. It changed the way I live. It changed the way I approach life. It changed everything. Why? Because for the first time now, I had a purpose. And before, it was always about waiting. One day, somewhere out there, the latter will be greater than the former. Just don't know when that's going to happen. When does it happen? Say now, faith is. Right now. How many people in here are saved? You had a born again experience? Okay, you have permission. That means you have full access. What are you waiting for? How many people want some doors open? Seek. Open up a key case. Find a key. If there's something you can't solve, find one of us who've been schooled in the Word for many, many, many years. We'll show you the key. And then it's up to you to take that key and to create an access. And when you access and that door opens, trust me, it's always tied to a promise. And what's ever tied to that promise is what will manifest in that earth realm. Because God is faithful to watch over his word to perform it or to hasten it, depending on what translation you're using. So don't just hear this today and say, wow, that was really interesting. I never knew that. Let it change you. Let it challenge you. If you're stuck, let it encourage you. Because it removes all the impossibility from your life and makes all things possible for them who are in Christ or the promises or the keys of God. Does everybody now understand what kingdom is? Do you understand it was the first message? Does everyone understand that seeking is the first thing you need to do? First thing. Doesn't matter what you think is more important. No, you need to seek the kingdom. You need to seek a key. Are you fully convinced now that when you seek, you'll find? Are you comfortable that when you find, that you can apply the key that you found and an access will be afforded to you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you knock now, the door will be open? If you got a key in your hand, you should be. When I got here today, I said, how many people came in here expecting? And y'all said, yeah. Did you get what you came for? Now, I expect that you will take the keys that you just received and you're going to go create some access. And when you do, kingdom is being established. And yes, I'm all about buildings and, you know, chairs and music and all that, but I'm more about kingdom. And so when I see empty pews in here, I'm not looking at, hey, how big do we build the church? I didn't come here to build a church. You didn't? No. Jesus said, I will build my church. I don't build churches. I'm not called to build a church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because they understand kingdom. My job is the church that he builds. I have to teach him about kingdom. That's my job. Now, being pastor, some people think my job should be a lot of other things. And that's fine. You can think what you want. But I understand my calling. My question is, do you understand yours? Are you operating in what we talked about today? If you're not, are you going to now? Because there's no time like the present to change the state in which you're in. Now, since the first message was repent, and you have to be born again. If there's someone in here and you haven't had a born-again experience, you never prayed and asked God to give you salvation, to take away your sin and let Jesus be made a curse and for you and apply the blood of Jesus on your life. Maybe you never did that. I want to make sure that we don't leave here today and we miss the access point, the entry point, Jesus. So if that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. We're just going to pray a prayer here in a minute. And when we pray, I just want to know who's out there that I'm praying for. So Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you in public. You know, I used to say, close your eyes and bow your head. But listen, Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you in public. I'm not going to be ashamed to receive him. I don't know. How about you? I receive him. Openly, I receive Jesus. So if you're in here today and you haven't received Jesus, and, you know, in a minute I'm just going to say a general prayer over it, but can I just see who it is? You'd say today, Pastor, I want to get saved today. I want to have the entry point here. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand. Let me just see who you are. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Who are you? Oh, I know you're here. You just don't want to raise you. You know what's sad is right now, there's three people here that need to raise their hand. Jesus left the 99 to go for the one. So I'm going to ask you, if that's you, nobody's going to come over and embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I just want to, as we all pray, you can pray with us. And I want to know that you're going to heaven. That's all. I don't want you to miss the blessing that's being afforded you. So if that's you right now, just lift your hand up and let me see who you are. Boldly, don't be afraid. Where are you? Let me ask it this way. Maybe you asked the Lord into your life, but you know you're not living the way you're supposed to. You're not living for God. And you know right now that if you died, you'd bust hell wide open. I'm asking you, are you living for him? And do you want to receive him now? You're saying, I want to come back into your saving grace. I want to be saved, and I want to know that I'm saved. If that's you, will you please raise your hand? My heart is heavy. There's one. Thank you for being honest. There's two more. Who are you? There's one. Thank you for being honest. Understand, guys, why I do this. I'm not trying to show anybody. I already know. I'm not trying to prove it to anybody. It's just that's why I came, was for you. And I don't want to leave here unless I know you're covered. Now, it's your choice ultimately, and no, I'm not going to come pull you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I will ask one more time. If that's you, will you just lift your hand? I got one over here that was honest. Is there anyone else? I'm going to look across the crowd. Thank you. Is there one more? There's one more in here. Two of you have already raised their hand. Thank you for the hands. You can put the hands down now. There's our three. And we had a child over there as well. The Spirit of God is amazing because He will reveal the things that need to be revealed. But He does it in such a kind, loving way. He's never going to embarrass you. It's not His intent. He's there to love you and accept you. I commend you on being obedient and raising your hands today. Because every one of you responded, and now God's going to do everything that He promised for you. That's how kingdom works. So now I'm going to do exactly what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. It's not important that you hear me pray or the people around you praying, but it's important that you hear yourself making that proclamation of faith. And once you say amen, it's done. And Jesus gets up from His throne and He walks over to the Lamb's Book of Life. And He records your name. It says all of heaven is rejoicing. What a great day, man. What a great day. So as soon as I say amen, as heaven's rejoicing, I want to rejoice with heaven, okay? So let's everyone bow your head, repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me. Cleanse me. Make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe it, so therefore, I am a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. You are my Lord. For it's in Jesus' name I believe it and confess it. I receive it. Amen. 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 Come on, let's rejoice with heaven right now. All of heaven, all of kingdom is rejoicing. I want to say it again. It's no small thing that you responded to the call of God. Remember, that's the voice that will call to you in your time of need. That's the voice who you can always turn to in your day of salvation. I want to thank everybody in here for being mature enough to receive that message today. I don't know how long I'll be on Kingdom. Maybe next sermon I preach, maybe I'll move on, maybe I won't. But I will promise you this much, I will stay before the Lord in prayer. And whatever He instructs me to preach is what I'm going to bring. Is that fair? Did that help anybody today? I speak blessings over you and your families. God bless you. Let's go do some kingdom.